This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. More than 24 professors at Harvard Law School are saying publicly that the university's new sexual assault policy violates the rights of the accused, and they want Harvard to create a new one.
In an op-ed piece in the Boston Globe today, the 28 professors charged the policy, which went into effect this fall, does not allow accused students to defend themselves against the accusations.
The backdrop here is that Harvard is among more than 70 schools now under investigation for how they handle sex assault cases.
In response to the criticism, Harvard has issued a statement saying that its new policy creates, quote, an expert, neutral, fair, and objective mechanism for investigating sexual misconduct cases involving students.
And the university noted that it's inviting feedback on the new policy from a committee of faculty, staff, and students. To better understand the criticism, we're joined by one of the law professors who signed the letter, Janet Halley. Professor Halley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Now, the letter you signed says that, quote, the procedures lack the most basic elements of fairness and due process and are overwhelmingly stacked against the accused. What is it about the policy that you feel does that?
Well, when we look for due process, we look for the division of roles with independent decision makers, each doing their own role. So you'd have a prosecutor, a judge, a jury, an appeals court. All of those functions are collapsed into the Title IX office. So there's no internal check. There won't be any tension in there about what to do. If they get off on the wrong track, they'll stay on it.
Meaning that the same people doing the investigating or doing the prosecuting or doing the adjudicating?
Well, prosecution can sometimes come in the form of a complaint from a student, but the Title IX officer can also initiate cases, so they take the role of prosecutor in those cases. So there'll be even more problems there than in the mine run of cases where the investigation, the adjudication, and the appeals function are all in the same officer in her employment subordinates.
And you would like to see those be separate and more
separated,
independent,
yes.
Those pieces.
There's also a neutrality requirement in due process that we get these people to be, when you're not a prosecutor, you're not a defense attorney, when you're adjudicating, you're neutral. And this office is a Title IX office. The claim is that it's expert, but its reason for existence is to comply with the mandates coming out of the Department of Education right now, which are unequivocally to increase the number of students held responsible.
So basically more to stand up for the rights of the accuser than the accused.
Yeah, not that I think that we don't have to stand up for the rights of the accuser. I mean, absolutely, we must do far more than most universities and colleges have done to make sure that complainants get treated get a full hearing and get treated with respect and get their full claims laid out before the decision maker. But we don't need to go all the way in the other direction and take those opportunities away from the accused person.
In fact, I understand one of your concerns has been that basically there is assistance for the accuser, but none for the accused. And as a result, if you're a low-income student, for example, you might have difficulty affording an attorney.
Yes, we're very concerned about that because an attorney in this area, a highly qualified attorney, can cost as much as $100,000 retainer. And the university is quite alone in the Ivies for providing so little. In fact, I've seen nothing that makes a direct offer to the accused person that the university will assist them. Stanford does it, Chicago does it, Columbia does it. Why isn't Harvard doing it?
Professor Halley, the letter...
To the accused. There's plenty of assistance for the accuser.
Sure.
There's none for the accuser at my university. It's a problem.
The letter that you and the other professors signed says that you believe the policy could do more harm than good. Could you give an example of how that might play out if an allegation were made? Where would the harm end up happening more than the good?
Well, we run the risk here with the lack of neutrality, the lack of role division. I'll also add that the rules are very stacked so that there are unequal procedural opportunities for the two parties, with the accuser now having the lion's share of them. The danger is that ambiguous cases, tough cases, super complicated cases where people were so so passed out and drunk on various substances that they can't remember what happened, that those cases are hard to manage. And they're hard to come to right decisions. They're also, it's very hard, and this is my own concern, I don't want to speak for everybody on this, that very concerned that subpopulations in our world and in our community at Harvard who are kind of under general social suspicion of being sexual wrongdoers, like black men and gay men, will be much easier to charge, much easier to process, holding of responsibility, and much easier to expel, and I'm really quite concerned that this will all happen in such confidential procedures that we won't be able to monitor it.
You know, before this new policy went into effect, individual schools at Harvard could have their own policies on how to handle sexual assault complaints.
Yes.
With this new policy, it's now uniform across the university. Do you agree that uniformity is a good thing, but you just think this policy needs to be tweaked?
Just to clarify, the definition of sex harassment is now uniform across the whole university. The procedures for students are also uniform across the university. We retain the power to decide about proceedings against faculty, staff, guests, you know, other members of the community in our own schools. I don't think the real question here is uniformity or not. The reason we're going to uniformity is because the university wants to be able to close down this investigation, and that, I believe, is the reason we're doing it.
The investigation of the DOE into Harvard for its handling.
The Department of Education Office of Civil Rights is investigating us. It's not so much uniformity as the substance in the procedure that you put in place that are going to determine whether you get the right people held responsible and the people who shouldn't be held responsible able to go back to their lives without having them destroyed by the process or the outcome.
Professor Halley, do you have an example of a model sex assault policy you know of that you could point to that you wish Harvard would adopt?
It's a very complicated question. I was at Stanford for 10 years and was involved in student discipline there. At the very core, it's more committed to fairness to the community, to all the parties, and to resolving rather than punishing. And for an academic community to go in that direction, I think is very healthy because it reinstalls education as the primary goal of student discipline. Where the current trend is to go in the direction of a kind of criminal law model where we're going to find out wrongdoers and do as close to, you know, the equivalent of the death penalty, you know, kick them out of the school. And that's not necessary in every case. A lot of these cases can be resolved in a way that restores all the parties to what you could call their full upright position, you know, good, healthy engagement with the educational environment and the work environment.
Janet Halley
is what I would prefer.
Janet Halley is a professor at Harvard Law School. She's one of 28 faculty members there that signed an op-ed in the Boston Globe today asking Harvard to create a new sexual assault policy. Professor Halley, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Sasha.
And stay with us. Coming up, the revolution in consciousness with the mother of mindfulness, Dr. Ellen Langer. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.